Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's Joel Klatt. Now, what a pleasure. We run into this guy at the Pac-12 Media Day and then never talk to him again for a year. But he goes on Dusty and Cam show, but he stiffs Dusty and Cam this morning. And now he's on our show for some reason.
He felled us. Yeah, like a gift from the heavens.
How are you?
Oh, man. The joys of changing time zones. Do you want to know how big of an idiot I am?
Yes.
Yes, please. That'll make us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, I get to Columbus, and I've been having Central Time Zone games basically every week. And I get to Columbus this week, and I'm just like, thinking Central Time Zone Friday morning, and that's why I missed them this morning. Gosh, feel terrible about it. But at least I get to chat with you fellas.
Yeah, are you at the shoe for the big Ohio State Golden Gophers game?
Yeah, that's right. The big Minnesota Ohio State game. I don't want to laugh, but let's be honest. We're here to see Ohio State and see how much they can win by. You know, Minnesota's so young. PJ Fleck's doing a decent job there, but my goodness. This Ohio State team, I think they're really good. And here's the thing. We haven't even scratched the surface with Ohio State. Everyone's talking about, you know, who can compete with Alabama, who can compete with Alabama. Well, I would argue that we have seen the best that Alabama could be. Now, Nick Saban would probably disagree with me, but with Ohio State, think about it, guys. They have not played a game this year full strength. They have not. They went 3-0 without their head coach. Then they lose their best player. They've got to go to Penn State, play Trace McSorley, who's never lost a game at home in his career as a quarterback, and they've got to play him without Nick Bosa. And until maybe late in November, they won't have their head coach, their best player, on the field together for a game. So you can argue that Ohio State is the one that has the highest ceiling. Maybe not overall, but as far as what we've seen compared to what their ceiling is, they've got the most room for growth. Yeah. I think you can make an argument for that.
Well, yeah, and I've seen Ohio State play three times this year, watched the TCU game, Penn State, and then watched the Oregon State game. But you look at him, and I say maybe Georgia. Clemson doesn't even jump off the page at me like this outside of their front four. It's the team that looks the most like Alabama. When you watch Alabama play, the athletes jump off the screen at you. And Ohio State, to me, maybe even more so than Georgia, is the other team that has done that for me this year.
I totally agree. They have the ability to play extremely explosive offense, score a lot of points in a quick amount of time. Their quarterback is one of the best in the country, one of the only guys that's keeping pace with Tua, quite frankly, as far as the numbers go. Their defense hasn't even been close to as good as what they can be, and yet they're still pretty good. Statistically, they are not what they have been in the past, but they've given up a few too many big plays, but they're still number two in sacks in the country. They're number nine in TFLs, and that's without Bosa being on the field for half the year. So it's still pretty impressive, and they are a team that I think talent-wise, top to bottom, is one of the very few rosters in the country that you could run out of the tunnel against Alabama and just think to yourself, okay, let's snap the ball. Let's rock. Let's see how this ends up.
So you guys are telling me Alabama and Ohio State are the two best teams? I'll never believe that. No way. Also, can I double down? And well, actually, I kind of want to one-up you on the dumb commentary. I am so with you on Columbus, Ohio being in the Central Time Zone, even though it is in the Eastern Time Zone. I would have done the same thing.
And yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I got to be honest, but whatever. I mean, you know, I guess I should have thought to myself, well, Detroit's in the Eastern Time Zone, which also doesn't make sense to me. Detroit seems like more of a Midwest town.
You know what I
learned?
But
hey, whatever.
I learned this week with the hurricane, the hurricane down in Florida, that parts of the panhandle in Florida are in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, what are we doing? What are we doing with time zones?
There's a handful of states that split time zones. Like Michigan has this, Indiana, Kentucky.
It's confusing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of states.
Well, and then a state like Arizona, now that we're completely off the rails, fellas. Arizona, half the year, you know, goes by daylight saving. You know, they don't change their clocks in Arizona.
Yeah, they
so half the year they're mountain time zone, half the year they're Pacific time zone. I wish we would all stop changing the clocks. Don't you hate it?
Yes.
When we've got to change our clocks and all of a sudden it gets dark at 4.
Couldn't agree
more.
Come on. We don't need it.
This sucks.
So I hear you're picking Oregon over Washington. Is that true?
It is true. Guys, here's the deal. And you and I talked about this sitting down at Pac-12 Media Days. This scheduling deal with Washington, I think, is a big deal. Playing consecutive weeks on the road is really difficult for a college team. These are not professional athletes. They've got to go to class. And I thought last week if they were able to win by 2, 3, 4 scores and get their starters out of the game in the fourth quarter that they would be rested and it wouldn't faze them. But they played a one-possession game with UCLA. You know, I mean, you've got to give a lot of effort on the road. You got to fly back. You get a little bit of a shortened week. And then you go right back on the road to, I would argue, the toughest place to play in the Pac-12 against a rival that's highly motivated, with the best quarterback in the conference that has learned a valuable lesson in how to play and win. How to play and potentially win big games at home with what happened earlier in the year against Stanford. So I think that this game is prime for Oregon to win. Oregon is uniquely suited to match up with and potentially beat Washington because it's one of the few quarterbacks in the country that's going to go up against one of the best secondaries in the country and still has the potential to have success. So those are the reasons I'm picking the Ducks. I'm not saying it's going to be by a wide margin, but I think Oregon's going to win again.
Yeah, I made the analogy that this Washington team reminds me of the past versions of Stanford, where we knew they were good. We knew they were capable of being a top-10 team, and they were going to play stingy defense. But just the way they played, it lent itself to close games. It lent itself to upsets because of the style that they played. And that's what I feel about Washington is they just play – they play close games. They're not blowing people out. And with a quarterback like Herbert, Oregon's got a real chance.
Well, think about it. Washington is the only team on UCLA's schedule that didn't beat them by more than one score. And they allowed 272 passing yards, which was the most that they allowed since week one. So, you know, they're not playing their best football, even though they're the number three scoring defense in the sport. So I think it's interesting. I'm not a huge believer in Browning. I think he's a great kid, but I think that he has stayed stagnant, which can look like regress at times during a long career, and that's not a good thing. He has not gotten better, and so if you can take away their run, then I think that you can get after a little bit. And quite frankly, Oregon, you know, isn't Herbert, I mean, he's like 11-3 as a starter since 2017, and they've scored, I think, upwards of 28-plus in all of those games that he started. So this is going to be a really tough task for Washington, and I think Oregon's going to win the game, which, by the way, to me, wins them the division, candidly. I think that they will go on to win the division if they're able to win next week, which then probably puts them in the championship game against, my Buffaloes?
Do you think that they will get there?
We'll see. I know. I mean, they're not a great team, but I will say, how often can you say that when USC steps on the field, the best player on the field is in the opposing uniform?
Yeah.
Very rarely, right? Almost never. And this week, you're going to be able to say that because Laviska Shenault at Colorado, the wide receiver, he's a real deal. I think he's going to wind up getting some votes for the Heisman. Whether he winds up in New York or not will remain to be seen. But if he keeps up this pace, he's assured the Biletnikoff Award. And their quarterback, Steven Montez, is playing the best football of his life. He's tied with Tua Tagovailoa for the highest completion percentage in college football, 75.2. So, yeah, I mean, Colorado can play a little bit. I mean, the fact that they don't have Jim Leavitt hurts, and the fact that Jim Leavitt is in Oregon is another reason why I think they're going to have a great chance to beat Washington. So, I think Colorado can win. If they win this week against USC, I think they win the division. So I think the divisions in the Pac-12 are basically, obviously, aside from a couple of upsets down the road, decided this weekend in those games, USC, Colorado, and Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, you get Colorado. I mean, they have to go on the road to USC and then flip around the next week and go on the road to Washington. So everything you want to know about Colorado will be sorted out in the next 2 weeks.
100%. I think, you know, I think they've got much better chances against USC than they do Washington. But We'll see. And that's a game, by the way, next week that Gus and I might call, depending on how the chips fall this weekend, in games like Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, and then those two in the Pac-12.
Well, if Colorado wins and Oregon wins, you're going to have, you know, probably the fifth or sixth team in the country playing someone in the teens. That may end up being a huge game. Undefeated Colorado and a one-loss Washington, if they both take care of business this week, game day.
Yeah, but we still got to pay bills, you know, and if Michigan wins, they're probably going to be in the top 10. And a lot more people watch Michigan than they do Washington and Colorado.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, last question I had for you. And then I have a mind-blowing time zone fact coming in from our listeners. Yes.
Yes.
After the latest Pac-12 gaffe with the, you know, the executive overruling the replay booth, do you think that Larry Scott should lose his job?
Oh, gosh. I mean, why don't you just shove me off into a pit of knives? you know, I don't know. I'm going to let that one go. I think it'll be tough for him to keep it. How's that? That's my way of putting it.
He is in danger.
Yeah, there's no. I think he was in danger outside of these kind of gaffes and public relations issues. You can't be the highest paid commissioner and deliver the lowest, monetary support per school in college football. At some point, that does not mix. At some point, the fact that there has been a complete breakdown in the DirecTV negotiations for now, what is it, 7 years? You know, that's going to come home to roost, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's definitely not good. And I know the athletic directors in the conference are not happy, but they're not the ones that hire and fire Larry Scott. That's the president's, unfortunately. Candidly, college football would be a supremely better place if we got university presidents out of the room. They're the absolute worst. There are the academics in the room that hold their nose up and don't understand the sport whatsoever or how to govern it. And quite frankly, if we got them out of the room and we had ADs handling things, I think things would get a lot better.
Well, it's true. You have a bunch of people that in some cases that we've dealt with really don't care about sports, because in the grand scheme of things, it's funny. We think of sports as just this colossal thing, but we've looked at, if you look at like what an athletic budget is compared to some of these big universities and what their total budget is, a lot of these university presidents, they don't even waste their time with it. And yet they're the ones making these decisions.
Yeah, but it's short-sighted on their part. And not to get on soapbox, it's incredibly short-sighted on their part, because what they don't understand is that their biggest marketing tool and best marketing tool is the football program and in some respects the basketball program. That's the way that you reach potential out-of-state students. And this ever-competitive market of college and in particular of rising tuition, the more out-of-state students that you can get to apply to your school, the better off you're going to be financially as a university. Notice I didn't say anything about athletic departments. The more out-of-state students you have, the much better you're off financially, because they're just paying a heavier cost. Therefore, the presidents that do get it and do support athletics generally have a much better scholastic monetary base, because they've got significantly more out-of-state applicants trying to come to their school because of what they see on Saturdays and in March Madness.
Okay, so here you go.
Mind-blowing fact. Let's go.
Yeah. So parts of Oregon are actually in the Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah.
So you've got Ontario, Oregon.
That
way
doesn't
out.
Make any sense whatsoever. No, that's dumb.
No, it is dumb. All this is dumb.
Balls and strikes, guys. Stuff makes sense or it's dumb. That's dumb.
So Ontario, you could fly from Ontario, Oregon on the West Coast to Pensacola, Florida on the East Coast and only lose 1 hour.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
1 hour.
Yeah.
Oregon to Florida, West Coast to East Coast. Mind blowing. All right.
I don't know if that's mind-blowing or that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, we've rendered Klatt speechless. Yeah, we've done it.
I can hear him trying to wrap
his mind
around
it. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. I guarantee you it was a university president that drew one of those ones. Clueless.
Joel Klatt, everybody. Thank you so much. Appreciate you making
the
time.
You got it. All the phone calls, all you academics, just send them into the show.
Right. Yeah, we'll take calls now for the rest of the show from the studious ones. Thank you, Joel. Have a good one.
You got it. Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.